Hello, welcome back to the studio. I'm Eric C. Jackson. I just want to have a talk about the Super Bowl that's coming up on Sunday. The 49ers are my favorite team. They've been my favorite team since I was a kid, like 5-6 years old. Oddly enough, my family rooted for the 49ers. And we lived in South Florida. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, so we were 20, 25 miles north of Miami, so we should have been rooting for the Dolphins, really. But we rooted for the 49ers, so Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Dwight Clark, Ronnie Lott. And had never been to San Francisco before in my life, so I don't know if that's weird or not, but yeah. I really didn't have any Florida teams that I rooted for, as you can see. But it's funny because Jim Harbaugh ended up coaching the 49ers. So that's when I started rooting for Coach Jim. And then he moved to my college team, which is Michigan. And no, I've never been to Michigan before. But and we won the national championship this year. This past season, so that was crazy. We lost Coach Jim to the Chargers. I don't know how I feel about that yet, but definitely I'm happy about that. This is a little tough for me. I guess I'm 50-50 in terms of who I think is going to win. And like I said, I'm rooting for the 49ers, but I think it's a toss-up. Now, if this was last year, we were going against Kansas City, I would say that we would probably lose the game again to them. But we played them before. Three years ago. Played them in the Super Bowl before. We got really close to winning, and then we just lost the game. And for those of you who didn't see it, we were winning the game in the fourth quarter with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We were winning 20-10, and yes, Kansas City only had 10 points in the middle of the fourth quarter. No, that's not the year when their offensive line was hurt. They were fully healthy. I believe they had Tyreek Hill still, so fully healthy. Patrick Mahomes had just thrown an interception. 49ers got the ball back, and I felt like we should have just run out the clock, you know, run the ball, because we were getting, what, six and a half yards per clip, per rush. And for some reason, we got the ball back after the interception. We started throwing the ball. And, of course, back then we had Jimmy Garoppolo as our quarterback. Now, I didn't have any false hopes or like I knew what Jimmy G brought to the team. He had plays where he would make incredible throws, like he throws the ball very well, but then the next play he would make the, you know, weirdest decisions. He would do things that would end up on blooper reels. Throwing the ball with his eyes closed, stepping out of the back of the end zone, just like, you just scratch your head sometimes, like the pendulum swung so much with him. So throughout the playoffs, I think Coach Kyle Shanahan, you know, our coach didn't let him throw the ball that much, and the media caught on to it, especially during the playoffs, where he had one game where I think he only had 8 completions, or he might have thrown the ball 8 times for the whole game. And that was on purpose. The coach was like, we are not going to let you make a mistake and cost us the game. And that worked throughout the playoffs, throughout the regular season, you know, not as much regular season, but especially through the playoffs, that worked. And you have 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. And that 2 weeks, the players, the coaches, they were all giving pushback to the media because the media was poking fun at Jimmy G. Like, he only threw 8 passes, or he had only had 8 completions. You know, do you have to shower after the game? Because you really don't do anything. So everybody's poking at him. And I honestly got upset because people were kind of overlooking the fact that we were winning the game. Like, I didn't care how we were winning, you know, whether he only completed 8 passes or only threw 8 passes. Like, did we win the game? Yes. But that wasn't where the attention was going. So 49er players, staff, coaches, whatnot, everybody's defending Jimmy Garoppolo, saying he's a great quarterback. We don't know what you're talking about, whatever. So it's like, you can't hide that, right? But that's, you stand up for your player. But I felt like at that point in the game, in the fourth quarter, middle of the fourth, we have the ball, we're running the ball 6.5 yards a carry. Just run the ball down the field, get another touchdown. There's maybe 3-4 minutes left on the clock. Kansas City will get the ball back and the game essentially be over, right? It'll be 27-10. But no, we rushed the ball after the INT. I believe we rushed the ball. We got like, again, 6-7 yards, because Kansas City's defense that year wasn't very good. They're not like Kansas City's defense this year is good. That particular year we played them in the Super Bowl, their defense wasn't that good. They couldn't stop the run. So yeah, it was like 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4. And from that point on, throw the ball. I think one time the ball got batted down. We had some incompletions. We just gave the ball right back to Kansas City. And that was the end of the game after that. And I believe there was a deep ball that was practically wide open. It was a long, deep throw Jimmy Garoppolo had. And as people still say to this day, Jimmy G missed a wide open. I think it was Emmanuel Sanders going down the middle on a post route. He just missed him. And I wasn't surprised, because that's why we didn't really let him throw the ball very much. That's just not, he's not that guy. He's not, or he wasn't when he was on the team. He was fine. We could have won the game with him. We could have been Super Bowl champs with him on the team, but you really can't put the crucial play in his, like, I wouldn't have done that, because he hasn't proven to be good. He hadn't proven to be good at that all season. And during basically most of the time he was on the team, it's just limit his, what, when you put the game in his hands. So he missed a throw. Kansas City gets the ball back, and I mean, just the floodgates opened, and KC just touchdown, 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 touchdown. I mean, a bunch of stuff happened. And we end up losing the game. It's like, how can you be up by 10 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter and lose the game? And it all comes back to, like, I don't even blame Jimmy G. I just think the Coach K has to say, they can't stop the run. We can burn the clock and run the ball, you know, at the same time, right? Or run the clock out by running the ball. So yeah, that should have been a plan. But yeah, you throw the ball, you get incompletions, you stop the clock, you lose all momentum, and then once KC scored again, we couldn't stop them from scoring. So the rest of the fourth quarter was just awful. But this year is different, because I don't know. My defense isn't as good. Kansas City's defense is much better than they were. But my offense is better, I believe. We have Brock Purdy, which I believe Brock, without question, runs this offense so much better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm not worried about that. And then Kansas City's offense, even though their defense is stronger, Kansas City's offense is not as strong. And I say that because when they played Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, they had 17 points at halftime. Kansas City did. Kansas City had 17 points at halftime, and they had 17 points at the end of the game, which means that the third and fourth quarter, they didn't even get a field goal. But everyone's telling me that Patrick Mahomes played great. I'm like, okay. So basically, the Ravens let them score on their first two drives in the first quarter, something like that. And then in the second quarter, they probably let Kansas City kick a field goal right before halftime. And in the third quarter, the Ravens defense just shut them down. Fourth quarter, shut them down. But at the end of the fourth, they couldn't get the ball back for their offense. And the Baltimore offense didn't do much of anything for the game. I mean, I think they only scored 10 points, you know. So, but I bring that up about the about Kansas City's halftime score because they did the same thing versus the Dolphins when they played them in Germany. And the Dolphins' defense is definitely not better than the Ravens' defense. But I'm just saying that in that Dolphins game when they played them in Germany, I don't think Kansas City scored in the second half in that game either. So I think that Travis Kelce is a threat. For sure, like, no question. But their receivers, I don't know. They've been playing better, for sure. But I think they're vulnerable there on offense. My issue in why I say it's 50-50 is because Kansas City's defense is so much better than they were when we played them in the Super Bowl before a few years back. Their defensive coordinator is going to blitz us to death. That's what I think is going to happen. So our offensive line for the 49ers is spotty, to be kind. We do have Trent Williams. I don't think he's injured. You know, he might be hurting a little bit, but I don't think he's, you know, going to be out. So he's going to have the blind side. But the rest of my offensive line is suspect. So where does that leave us? We're going to get blitzed. I think they're going to send one or two more players in our offensive line can block. Combined with the fact that sometimes my coach decides to run plays that are a little bit too cute, we can lose yards behind the line of scrimmage. We can get the ball batted down. Brock Purdy is not the tallest quarterback, even though I love Brock Purdy. Not the tallest quarterback, so we'll have balls getting batted down. They're going to blitz Brock like crazy. He's going to have to speed up his processing of where everyone is. And the thing that he can't do that players like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson can do is throw sidearms. Like Matthew Stafford throws weird angled passes. Brock is really not known for that. So he's going to have to move and move quickly. And like he did in the second half versus Green Bay and Detroit, he's going to have to be really decisive with moving off of his spot, because if he just takes the shotgun snap and stands there like he's prone to do sometimes, like he doesn't even backpedal sometimes. He just in shotgun, he takes a snap and he doesn't move his feet all the time, not right away. So they're going to blitz him. They're going to blitz him and move him off his spot. I don't know how well we're going to run the ball against Kansas City, especially in the first half or first 2.5 quarters. I think we'll be able to run on them midway through the third and then throughout the rest of the game through the fourth quarter. I think we'll be able to run on them then, but I think the first two and a half quarters is going to be tough to run the ball. Hopefully I'm wrong about that, but that's what I think. And in terms of my defense, my secondary is suspect for the 49ers. The pass rush from my front four, Bosa, Chase Young, the other guys on the D-line and then the linebackers, they haven't been getting sacks. You know, we got a few sacks against Detroit, but nothing consistent, like not consistent pressure. And then the other problem is Kansas City has a really good running back, and we have been terrible against the run. And what I saw the past couple games when the 49ers played Green Bay and Detroit, they rush up the field too fast. So they lose contain. And Nick Bosa goes up the field too fast or takes a bad angle towards the quarterback. And so he loses the edge. Chase Young on the other end of the defensive line, he goes up the field too fast and loses containment on his edge. So their mindset of just trying to go at the quarterback is not good against the running game. They're going to have to hold the edge of the defense and make the running back bounce outside, right? A lot wider than the running back wants to. But if they lose containment on either edge, it's bad. I'm not worried about the run up the middle too much unless Kansas City figures out how to get their offensive line to the linebackers, and then that's going to be a problem because the secondary is not going to be very good at tackling the running back. And then, of course, you have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. So you're just going to have to do something with him. I do think that when he scrambles and he acts like he doesn't want to go out of bounds, I think you do have to hit him. And you're probably going to have to risk getting 15-yard penalties two or three times during crucial parts of the game just because he likes to skirt the sideline and while he's getting more yards. But I don't think it should go as far as getting some of the penalties that Baltimore got on their defense, like just the weird, the headbutting and just the weird extracurricular stuff that they got, personal foul zone, just 15-yard penalties on. I don't know what was going on with Baltimore in that game, but they just played like they were mad and had an attitude. And I don't know, it's like they didn't handle the moment very well. And I felt like Baltimore was actually a better team overall, but they just didn't handle the championship stage the way that they, you know, approached their other game. So that was weird. So I say that to say I don't think that the 49ers are going to self-destruct on that level. But, you know, we have to be careful about that as well. I don't know about my offense. I don't know about my offense. I think that this Kansas City secondary is going to be, has some holes in it for sure. But I don't know how much time my quarterback is going to have to actually read, go through all his reads, his progression, and find the open receiver. And then my coach, Kyle Shanahan, he gets on my nerves with how many times he, I guess, flanks Deebo Samuel out of the backfield because Deebo, yes, Debo's like a running back, but Deebo's not a running back. Deebo can't take hits like Christian McCaffrey can take hits. And yes, Christian McCaffrey is smaller, but he's still more stocky. He can take more punishment, surprisingly enough, right? He just can't. Christian McCaffrey can take more hits. Deebo Samuel can't take those type of hits. And my coach keeps putting Samuel in positions where he has to get hit like a running back. So I would say get Deebo into the Kansas City secondary, put him out in space so he's not getting tackled by a 300-pound D lineman or the linebacker. Get him against the safety, the cornerback, and he can break those tackles. But you start getting the instances where Deebo gets hurt more times than not, he's getting tackled by a D lineman or a linebacker, or he's getting 2, 3, 4 guys piled on trying to get him on the ground and he ends up getting hurt. Or they stand him up and start letting other guys take shots at him. It's like, put him in more space. If you put Debo, if he catches the ball 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, Kansas City's defense is fast enough to have 5, 6 guys converge on the ball, and he's going to get hit multiple times and probably re-injure his shoulder in the sometime in the first quarter. And the fact that we went into the Detroit game and start playing Debo the same way and flanking him out, and he's catching the ball 3, 4, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, it looks good when it works. But when it doesn't work, Debo's too exposed. He's just too exposed. So I'm like down the field between behind the linebackers, in front of the safeties. That's where Debo Samuel should live, right? Because then the linebackers are having to chase him and they can't catch him because he's too fast. And then you have the safeties and cornerbacks trying to tackle him and they can't because they're too small. And then you take the D linemen, the front five, completely out of the equation because they ain't running down the field that far. So there you go. And then with Debo, get everything you can and get down, get on the ground so that you can stay in the game all 4 quarters. But it's tough to tell him that just because that's how he plays. And he's so good at breaking tackles, so you don't want to tell him that necessarily. But yeah. And then I also think George Kittle, very good blocker, opens up the defense. Jennings has been playing really well, the other receiver. Conley. He had a catch for a crucial third down. We got weapons. Brock Purdy can read the defense very well. It's just, you got to give him a beat and a half more time than you might with other quarterbacks. And then Brock Purdy's legs, I would say be careful, because yes, it's good to scramble, but Kansas City's defense, they're going to try to take some shots at him. So be careful with that. But, you know, you're going to have to move. They're going to have to move the pocket. And I think that it's going to take a quarter and a half for Brock to really get going, because now they've had another 2 weeks off. Right. So there's that. But I do like Brock. I think he is our franchise quarterback. I do. I just think that between high school, he had 4 years of college. He played at Iowa State. He still has some accolades out there, but, you know, he just didn't have the measurables that scouts are looking for. But our QB coach, Brian Greasy, scouted him. And I saw a little bit of that story, and Brian Greasy suggested to Kyle Shanahan that, hey, this kid is good. He looked at the tape, and he was the last pick of the draft. To me, it doesn't matter. Like, a Brock goes out there and only throws 8 passes or whatever. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. People can talk all the noise they want to. It doesn't matter. The point is, you got to win the game. So if you win throwing, if you win rushing, it doesn't matter. Because if you look at the plays that the 49ers have, they can have a 30-40 yard play from Christian McCaffrey just running up the middle, you know, breaking the tackle with a linebacker, outmaneuvering the safety, and then he's gone. So 30-40 yards running, the touchdown is worth the same as 30-40 yards passing the ball, throwing the ball for a touchdown. It's the same thing. It's the same 6 points. They don't give you extra points for you throwing the ball. to get the touchdown. If you run it, you get the same 6 points. But sometimes I'm watching the game, and it's like the play caller's mentality is that, oh, we're going to get extra brownie points if we throw the ball instead of just running it, continuing to run the ball. Like, you notice that you're getting 5-6 yards a carry, but instead of just continuing to run the ball until they stop you from running it consistently, then it's like, oh, we're just going to pass the ball. Especially if the passing game's not working, or it's shaky, it's inconsistent, or Brock Purdy comes into the game and he's got some of the nerves going. Okay, everybody, the rest of the team, help him out, and we're going to run the ball down their throat. And again, it's going to be tough, like I said, probably the first two and a half quarters, but I think in all these games I've seen that Kansas City's defense, you know, against the run, they kind of wear out, you know, sometime in the third quarter going into the fourth quarter. The question is, will we still be able to run the ball because of what the score is? If the score is way out of reach, we're like 3 touchdowns down in the game. Even at that point, it's like, yes, we still need to run the ball because we're really good at running the football. And it's later in the game, so their defense is going to be as tired as they're ever going to get halfway through the third and going into the fourth quarter. And I think our best, you know, chunk plays are in the run game. So even if we're down, we still have to run the ball. We still have to run it, because we're down 2-3 scores and we start throwing the ball every down, Kansas City's defense is just going to get worse. They're going to pin their ears back and just come after Brock Purdy. So regardless of what the score is, we're just going to have to run the ball, because otherwise we're going to get our quarterback knocked out of the game again. We're just going to have to run the ball, which we have done before, but it was when Coach Harbaugh was coaching, and I think it was that Atlanta game in the playoffs. We were down 17 points and nothing was working. The pass game wasn't working. And that was part of the reason why we switched to Colin Kaepernick, because he was better in the pass game. At least that's what he told me. He was better in the pass game. So it got to the point where the pass game wasn't working, and the Falcons weren't letting Colin just go on those QB scrambles like he did in the previous game versus Green Bay. So Jim Harbaugh was like, we just going to go heavy set package and run the ball down. They throw it up the middle with Frank Gore. And then we ended up scoring a touchdown. And eventually we came back to win that playoff game. But that's really what it comes down to, is I think that in the Detroit game, hopefully Coach Kyle remembers that sometimes you just have to go back to basic football. If you are losing on the line of scrimmage, you're not going to win the game. You have to get control of the line of scrimmage back. And you do that by running the ball. Establish the run, and then you can use the play action and all these screens and elaborate motions and all the other stuff he likes to do. But all that other stuff is not going to work if you don't have control of the line of scrimmage. So you have to give your offensive line the opportunity to get their sea legs under them and push the other team off the ball. Get Christian McCaffrey going in the run game. Get these other guys going. Get the ball out of Brock Purdy's hand a lot faster. Let the other guys carry the load on the offense. And then everything else goes from there, right? And so then the defense is kind of on their heels, and then Brock Purdy can go to work more down the field, which he's definitely capable of doing. But you have to get control of the line of scrimmage. Other than that, I can't say much towards Kansas City's offense, because I don't know how they're going to play. I don't. because if we saw them in a regular season, they didn't play very well. They didn't play very well. Like I think it's Kadarius Toney. They didn't even play him in the last playoff game or the last couple of playoff games because of how much he was dropping passes. Travis Kelce did go 11 for 11 on his targets to catches. But as far as wide receivers go, their running back is, their running back scares me, to be honest. And then special teams is kind of up in the air. I don't know how special teams is going to go, field position, stuff like that. I don't know how that's going to go. But these are my thoughts. I think if the 49ers would have played Baltimore in the Super Bowl, I don't think it would have been 50-50. I think Baltimore would have beat us again. I do. I just think that Baltimore just beat us up on the line of scrimmage too much. And for us to have a chance against Baltimore, I think we would have had to throw out Shanahan's set of plays, right? Which he had to do against Detroit, but for Baltimore for sure. And a lot earlier in the game because, oh my goodness. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Baltimore's never been on that stage, really. So their team next year might look different. Coaching staff might look different. I'm not sure how they're going to do it or what adjustments they're going to make. But with Kansas City, I don't know. But they're definitely going to have to address their wide receivers going into next year. And then what Jim Harbaugh, what effect he's going to have on the Chargers. They're in the same division as the Chiefs. I'm going to love that's what I want to see next season. Because Coach Jim, he ain't no joke. He is no joke. So, and I think this is going to be the best quarterback Coach Jim has had. So, I'm thankful for what Coach Jim did for the 49ers, for my college team, Michigan. He's going to be a handful as long as he don't come to San Francisco and start making trouble. Okay. I got to root against him then, but yeah, I can't be mad at him for, leaving Michigan, especially everything that was going on with the NCAA. So thank you guys for listening. You can share your thoughts, your feedback. Don't talk about my team too badly in the comments, but share everything in the comments. Like, subscribe to the channel, and I will continue to share my content. Just go ahead and look through the playlist on the homepage, and there's just categories of all the different topics that I touch. So this is definitely one of them, for sure. It's definitely one of them. So yeah, get your popcorn ready, as Terrell Owens would say, and everybody take care. Thanks for listening.